And let's again read verses 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Amen. Amen. But, what happened? Do you all have it? Let's make sure you have it first. Okay?
But the hour is coming.
And now is.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and reality. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him.
Amen.
God is spirit.
Yes.
Those who worship Him must worship in spirit
and reality. Okay. So let's read these two verses again. Amen. And remember what we spoke about last night. The word truth here really should be reality. Okay. Those of you who know Greek, that word, the Greek word here is aletheia. Right? Yeah. And what does the word aletheia mean?
Truth. Reality.
Exactly. Reality. Okay. So let's read these two verses again. And make sure we read the word truth as reality. But the hour is coming. Now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and reality. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and reality. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then let's also read 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's read verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Amen. Amen. Okay. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this morning we want to continue the fellowship regarding the Father's desire. What is the Father looking for? What is He seeking for? God our Father is seeking for the true worshipers, who worship Him in spirit and reality. And last night, we spent a little bit of time to see, what is it really? What is this worship to God our Father? Right? To worship God our Father is very scriptural. And He actually tells us very clearly in His Word. And just to, for those who were not here last night, we'll just briefly summarize this on the board. So the Father is looking for the true worshipers. Oh, this pen doesn't work. I'll use this pen. Okay, true worshipers. I don't know if people can see it. True worshipers. You all can see that, sort of? Huh? 1P. Two or one? Are you sure? Then why is it in the Bible it's one? Look at verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. How many P's?
Well, at least it's, you know, Canadian.
Okay. It's okay. When I first started taking notes, I typed 2 P's, but then when I started reading the word more carefully, I noticed it's 1 P. Okay, so it's 1 P. Okay, so the true worshipers. See, it's very important that we read the word carefully. I mean, really, so we kind of, it's funny a little bit, but actually, there's so many things that we realize in the matter of the true worship that we just took for granted, we overlooked, and it's important that we see this. So the true worshipers. So first of all, who is the object of our worship? It's the Father, right? God, our Father. So the object of our worship is to the Father. Okay? And what was the second requirement of the true worshipers? In spirit and reality. Right? It must be in spirit and reality. And then, what else that we saw? The location. Where? Where is it that God our Father wants to worship? Where is it? In the Old Covenant, it was in Jerusalem. But today, it's where?
The church.
Okay? And then, what is it that God wants us to do when we enter His place of worship? What is the first thing He wants us to do? It's to offer, right? This is to offer the offerings, is what we saw in the Old Covenant. And today, who is the offerings?
Christ.
Christ is the reality of all the spiritual offerings. Okay? And then, what was the appointed time? When did God the Father want us to keep, when does He want us to bring the offerings? What was the appointed time? It's the matter of the feast. It's the keeping of the feasts. Right? So we have the keeping of the feasts. And we also saw, what is the feast today? Who's the reality of the feast? It's Christ. Okay? So Christ is the reality of the feasts. Right? This is the appointed time. At the appointed time. Okay? So this is the matter of the true worshipers, that we all need to have this vision to see. The perspective, when we speak about the true worshipers, is in respect to God our Father and what He wants. What does the Father want today? And you know, this matter of spirit and reality. The question is, sometimes we wonder, well, why did we change the word from truth to reality? Right? I mean, they're pretty close in meaning, right? You would think. I mean, isn't it important in the matter of the truth? We have to worship God in the truth, meaning it has to be the right teachings. But having only the right teachings is not enough. We need to have the reality. Well, what does it mean to have the reality? Sorry? To have Christ. The reality. You need Christ. But the reality then has to be experienced by us with Christ. So for example, you know, today I believe all the Christians realize that the church should be one. I think we agree. As Christians, we all realize there should be the oneness in God's family. But the question is, do we have the reality of the oneness of the church? Do we really have the reality of the oneness of the church? This is the question. Do we have the reality? If we really had the reality of the oneness of the church today, then there should be no division in the churches. We should not be divided based on teachings. We should not be divided based on race. We should not be divided based on social classes or following spiritual leaders. Why? Because who's the head of the church? That's the truth. But is that our reality? Is Christ really the head of the church in our experience? Is Christ really the head of the church in our experience in the church today? Because if Christ is really our head here in the church, then there should not be any division. Right? So this is the difference between truth and reality. They're very close. You need the healthy teachings. You need the proper teachings. But we also need the reality. It can't just be talked about, but it needs to be practiced. It needs to be our experience. And this is what God our Father really wants. He wants us to worship Him. The true worshipers must worship in spirit and reality. And as we saw last night, what really God our Father wants in the worship is that we would bring the spiritual sacrifices. He wants us to offer Christ as the reality of the spiritual sacrifices. Now, some of you might be thinking, I know the first thing I thought about is, well, what's the difference between the offerings and sharing? You know, we always like to say, share in the meetings, to fellowship in the meetings. And then, what is this offering? Why do we have to use this word offerings? Okay. We have to realize a couple of things. First of all, when we speak about offerings, who are we offering to? Who are you offering to? Do I offer to George? Do I? Okay, then I offer to Muchang. Better not. Right. Better not. So I think we need to realize the word offering, when we say offering, it's offering is directed to God our Father. This really has to be the case. It's just like the same word as pray. What's the difference between praying and speaking or talking? When you say pray, what do you immediately think of? Pray to God. I don't pray to George, right? But if I say the word talk, I want to talk to George. We don't talk to God. If we say the word talk, I want to talk to someone, we usually have to specify the person's name. I need to talk to Moses, or I need to talk to Maria. But if the minute I say pray, what does it mean? We pray to God. So we have to realize God our Father is very specific in His how He wants us to really bring the offerings to Him. And this is the offerings. So we need to realize that. Right? And yesterday we also spoke about, you know, God doesn't want to just hear us give sermons. And the question is, well, you know, all these past years we've been sharing our testimonies, sharing our experiences. So this is something that I had always had a question about. Well, what about all the things that we've done in the past? What we need to realize is this. It's one thing to say, I was touched by the word. Many of us, and this is my experience, I come to the meeting on the Lord's Day, and the word is spoken on the Lord's Day, and I was very much touched by the word. And I will also stand up and share a testimony to confirm the word. I was touched by the word. But then what happens? Monday rolls around, and you go through the whole week, and you forgot about the word that you're touched by. So no change. Nothing has happened, right? Then the following Lord's Day you come, and you are again touched by the word. You're so touched, you were moved by tears by the word. And then Monday rolls around, and what happens? The whole week you forgot about the word that you're touched by. So if you do this week after week after week after week, you might feel like that, yes, I'm worshiping God. But what we are in danger of, and we might not realize, is there is no change going on within me. I was touched by the word, but there is no change. I spoke the word, but there is no change. Right? So the matter of the offering, when we get into it, and this morning we'll spend a little bit of time on what the offering is. If we really have prepared the offerings, there has to be fruit. The offerings that we present, that we offer to the Father, has to be a fruit that was resulted from a change in our lives. If there's no change in our lives, then we cannot offer Christ as a sacrifice to satisfy the Father. You know, in one of the conferences, someone asked this question, isn't it good enough for God to be satisfied with me speaking the word back to God? Just like, you know, a conference, we hear the word and then we speak it back to one another because we were really encouraged by it. So this is how I responded. As a parent, I have children. So one of the things I like to do is I like to remind them to clean up their rooms in the morning. Okay? So imagine this. Every Sunday morning, I gave a wonderful message on cleaning your room. Sarah, Jasmine, you need to clean your room. Why? Because then when you come into the room the evening, your bed is nicely made, your pajamas are in the right place, and your room's not a mess, and there's all the benefits of that. Okay? And then Monday morning, they come out of the rooms, they go, "Dad, you gave such a good word about cleaning our rooms. And it's so wonderful that we can clean our rooms. And, you know, I see the benefits of cleaning our rooms." Then they go to school, and I open the door, and I find out the room is a mess. Okay. So that's one way. The other way is I give this word to them, and then Monday they tell me, "Yes, Daddy, it was really good cleaning up the room." And then I open the door, and I see that the room has been cleaned up. Now, which one is more satisfying to the father? Huh? Which is more satisfying? Me hearing my kids preach to me about how good it is to clean up the room, but not doing it? Or when they speak back to me saying, "It was wonderful to clean my room," and they actually did it. Right? So this is what we need to begin to realize. This is what God our Father wants. He wants the fruit of not just hearing the word, but it becomes our experience, it becomes our reality, which causes change in our lives. This is what the Father wants. The change in our lives is the fruit. And this is the fruit that will satisfy the Father. So that means the offerings is something that we have to labor and prepare. The matter of all of the offerings that was brought out in Leviticus, today is Christ. Yes, Christ is the reality of all the offerings. But for us to offer to the Father, we need to prepare it. We need to experience it, and there must be change in our lives. This is why it's not just that we talk about the offerings. Yes, we do need the knowledge of the offerings. Otherwise, we will not know what to offer to the Father. But it's not just to know the truth of the offerings, but then we need to have the reality of the offerings. It must become our experience. Not just experience, but it results in the change in our lives. So what are the five offerings? I know, you know, some of you have said, haven't we heard about the offerings? Well, some of you may not have heard of the offerings. But this was actually given in a conference already. The last two summers in New York, we've had a couple of conferences on this regarding the matter of Christ, the reality of all the offerings in Leviticus. So the first offering is what? The burnt offering. Good. It's following along. And what's the significance of the burnt offering? Do you remember? Come on, we had two conferences. Do you remember? The matter of the burnt offering. When you read Leviticus chapter 1 about the burnt offering, means the entire offering is put on the altar. The whole ox is put on the altar, except for the skin. And then it is completely burned. So that there's the only thing left is a sweet aroma to the Father. So the significance, the reality, the meaning of the burnt offering is that we would be absolute for God the Father. Obedient completely in its entirety to God the Father. Because nothing is left on the altar. Everything is burnt. So today, who is the only person that is completely satisfying to the Father? Is it Maria who's completely satisfying to the Father? She's a good sister, right? She's serving all the time. She's here for the church. She's a good person, right? But who really is the only one who is 100% absolutely for the Father and obedient to the Father? It's Christ. That's why Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, after the Lord was baptized, the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was also prophesied by Isaiah. It was repeated again in Matthew chapter 12. And then Matthew 17, verse 8, speaks about, again, the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." meaning Jesus Christ is the only one who is well-pleasing to the Father. His whole time on this earth was to be obedient to the Father. What was the number one priority of Jesus Christ? Why did he come to this earth? To save us? To shed his precious blood for our sins? What was his primary goal? To do the Father's will. That was his only purpose. His main purpose is to do the Father's will. And he says this many times in the Gospel of John. Even his own food, the food is to do the Father's will. And he would not do anything apart from the Father. This is Christ as our burnt offering. Why do we need Christ as our burnt offering? Because none of us here today are absolute for God. None of us here will obey God 100%. We obey God, but usually it's out of our own convenience to make us feel good. Then we obey God. But how many of us are absolutely 100% obedient to the Father? I'll be the first to say, I'm not. This is our nature. We are not obedient to our Father. We are not absolutely one for our Father. So this is our opportunity to take Christ as our burnt offering, to be absolute for the Father. And it's so practical. You know, I know Tuesday nights in Fountain Valley is the church prayer meeting. It's the time for the brothers and sisters to gather to pray what is on the Father's heart. But after a long day of working, you're tired, you want to just sleep. Many times in my natural man is, I just want to go to sleep. I won't go to the prayer meeting tonight. This is an opportunity to take Christ as the burnt offering. Many times, especially after a long day, you come home and that decision is there. What do you do? So these days, I've learned to take Christ. Right now, Lord, I take you as my burnt offering. I want to be obedient to the Father, to go to the prayer meeting, to pray what is on the Father's heart. It's not a matter of me trying to just drag my body over to the prayer meeting and then sleep through the prayer meeting. No. It's a matter of being obedient to the Father by taking Christ as the burnt offering. I want to experience Christ as the burnt offering, to go to the prayer meeting. And the burnt offering isn't just about being obedient to go to all the meetings. There are so many other opportunities to experience Christ as a burnt offering. Recently, one of our sisters in the church in Fountain Valley, she was wrestling with this matter of baptism. Should I get baptized or should I not get baptized? And it was a struggle for her for over a number of months. But praise the Lord, one day she said, I want to obey the Father. So I take Christ as my burnt offering. And she called and she says, I wanted to get baptized ASAP, immediately. And we baptized her a couple hours later. And praise the Lord, it was such a satisfaction to the Father. The next day was the Lord's Day. And during the time of the worship of the Father, she offered Christ as her burnt offering in her decision to be baptized. Man, that was so satisfying to the Father. And you know, if that offering was satisfying to the Father, it was definitely satisfying for all the brothers and sisters in the church. Right? So the matter of the burnt offering is very practical. Many times in our daily life, we can experience Christ in such a way. Right? And you remember, the burnt offering, everything got burnt. Means there's nothing left. You're burned up. You're burnt to a crisp. Remember, who was the one that was burnt to the crisp? Sent to the cross, nailed on the cross. This is Jesus Christ himself. He's gone through so much sufferings to obey the Father's will. And when we run into a little bit of suffering, what do we do? Complain. Why not take Christ as our burnt offering? Right? So this is a practical experience. We all want to be absolute for God, yes? Are you sure? Do you all want to be obedient to God our Father? Really? Oh, come on. I think if you really want, if you have to check with your heart. Do we really want to be obedient to God our Father? Yes. But we also realize we can't do it by ourselves, right? Yes, we can't. I'll be the first to say this. But we have Christ who is our burnt offering. We have Christ who is the burnt offering that we can take today to apply in our lives. That we also can begin to be changed. Right? This is a matter of transformation. It's not just about knowing, but it's about changing our changing the way we decide, changing the way we act, changing the way we make decisions to be obedient to the Father. Okay? Then the next offering is the meal offering. Now, what is the meal offering today? Christ as the reality, and what is He? This is the bread of life. John chapter 6. Many verses in there. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. The bread that came down from heaven. And he who eats of me, what? Shall live. Right. So what is the meal offering? The meal offering is to eat Christ as this unleavened bread. When you go back into Leviticus in chapter 2, you see that this unleavened bread is made out of what? The first thing, the first element is the fine flour. We know the fine flour represents the humanity of Christ. And His humanity is so fine. He knows what to say in whatever the situation is. He knows how to act on the different situations He's put into. His humanity is so fine in every environment. Now, how about our humanity? Our humanity is rough. Especially when we're absolute for something. If we're gung-ho for something, we're so gung-ho for something that we are so absolute for something, we're too rough. And we always rub each other the wrong way. This is our humanity. Our humanity is like the rough, raw grains of wheat. Can you eat bread of unprocessed grains of wheat? I don't think so. I think if you eat it, you'll get an upset stomach. But what we need is the fine humanity of Christ. This is the humanity that has been processed. It's been ground up. Think about what the Lord had to go through. The God of this universe having to obey His human father, Joseph. I'm sure it resulted in some grinding. And to deal with the Pharisees, to deal with all the rebellious religious people, I'm sure it was a suffering. It was the grinding. The fine humanity of Christ was being lived out. And also with this, with the meal offering, it was mingled or mixed with what? Oil, the olive oil. This is the Spirit today. It also needs to be mingled with the Spirit today. It's not just that we have the fine humanity of Christ, but it's with the Spirit, the anointing who teaches us all things. And in this meal offering, there is no leaven. What is leaven? Yeast. Leaven is the yeast that makes the bread grow and become soft. The unleavened bread, the meal offering, there is no leaven in it. Do you realize what the leaven is? Have you heard of leaven? Leaven, sin, right? But in the Word, Jesus spoke about leaven. You have the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, meaning the leaven of the dead religious practices. Think about all the traditions that we have in our minds concerning just the simple thing of worshiping the Father. Is this what the Father wants, or is there some leaven in our minds, in our concepts of how we should worship God, how we should have the meetings, how we should share the gospel, and how to edify one another? There's a lot of leaven that could be in our minds. You have to realize leaven is hidden. It's hard to see. And it's within us. It's within our hearts. You have the leaven of Herod. This is about politics, following a man. Because the Jews at that time looked at King Herod as the savior for Israel. So they played politics. And you might say, well, what kind of politics will we play here in the church life? Well, just think about it. If you do something, you serve in the church. Maybe you cook a wonderful meal for the saints. But nobody says thank you. No one complimented you. And you feel, oh, what's wrong? How come the saints didn't appreciate what I cooked? Ah, that's leaven in our hearts. Because we're seeking recognition. Do you remember what happened to Saul in 1 Samuel when he was looking for recognition? He says, how come I only got praised for, what, 1,000? Killing 1,000? And then David had 10,000? Hey, how come? What's wrong with me? Right? We are always looking for this natural recognition. Right? This is politics. We do things with hidden agenda. This is the leaven within us. The leaven of hypocrisy. We have a mask. We come to the meeting. We dress really nicely. We have a smile on our faces. We shake hands with everyone. We say hi. But in our hearts are far away. You might be sitting here in a meeting, smiling, nodding your head, but your mind is on something else. 5 blocks away from here. Or downtown. On the ice rink of Markham. Right? Hypocrisy is within our hearts. You also have the leaven of malice and wickedness. And in Fountain Valley, we've been spending a lot more time in leaven. These are just some very blatant words in the scriptures that speak about leaven. But we realize leaven is so much more. It's the pride within man. So much leaven. This kind of leaven cannot be in the meal offering. Right? This is what we need, Christ as the meal offering. And what you also should realize is there's no honey. Honey, what is honey? Honey is the stickiness of our natural relationship with one another. Are we sticking to one another in this meeting because of our natural relationships? Are we being built up together in Christ with the unleavened bread? Right. So all of these things we have to see. And as we see more and more, we realize I need Christ as the meal offering. And you know, with this offering, only a handful is given to the Father. But the remainder is for the priest to eat. So the meal offering is for us to eat. The burnt offering, we want to be absolute for God our Father, to obey Him. But then we need the strength. And the strength comes from the meal offering. Yes, I want to go to the prayer meeting, but I lack the strength. So right now I also take Christ as the meal offering to supply me, to even give life to my mortal bodies. Because one of the elements in the meal offering is frankincense. What is frankincense? Resurrection. We need the resurrection life of Jesus Christ because our humanity is also dead. My body is really physically tired. But do you realize that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who raised Christ from the dead, this same life can even give life to our mortal bodies? Have we experienced Christ in such a way where He gives us life to our physical mortal bodies? This is all in the meal offering. And this is, again, what we can take day by day. many times. You know, as a parent, you want the best for your kids. And when something happens, what do? We react. I know I react. As a dad, if I see a problem, I'm always going to try and fix the problem. But a lot of times when I fix the problem, I'm also reacting. Because, why did that have to happen? So if I go fix the problem and react to my kids, react to my wife, I might have the right intention. But there is no fine humanity of Christ. And so rather than fixing the problem, I exasperate the problem, make it worse. And then nothing gets accomplished. So more and more, especially in these days, now that my daughters are teenagers, I realize I need to begin to take Christ even more as the meal offering. So I'm not going to react. I want to be able to speak in a way as the Lord would speak. So that number one, yes, they would still be disciplined. They would learn something from it. But at the same time, it would be done in a way where it edifies. Where it would also lead them to the Lord. Because I want them to know the Lord as the meal offering. So that when that situation arises again, it's not just that they'll do the right thing, but they would also turn and take Christ as the meal offering. For the fine humanity to be worked out in them. This is all practical. This is something we all can labor on, we can get into, and we can prepare to bring to the Father. This takes time. Because our humanity is so rough. We need to experience Christ as the meal offering, to eat of Him daily with His Word. Let the Word sanctify us. Let the Word change us. And so in those situations, the Spirit will remind us, put off the old man. Don't get mad. But speak with love. Speak the truth in love. This is the meal offering. And of course, we have the peace offering. Why is there no peace in the family? Between the husband and the wife. Between the parents and the children. Why is there no peace in the church? We are all not peaceful people. As much as we say we are for peace, the minute you cross my line, there's no peace. That's just who we are. So how do we have the peace? We need Christ as our peace offering. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 already says, Christ is our peace. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. And He has reconciled us to God and reconciled us to one another. Of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, it's speaking about between the Jews and the Gentiles, reconciling them and in reconciling us to God. Today, the reason why there is no peace is because we have no peace with God first. So we need to take Christ as our peace offering. Many times, you think about your situation. How many times is it like you're arguing with somebody? If you're married, you're arguing with your spouse. How to take care of situations? I have my opinion. Sharon has her opinion. There's no peace. So we both realize we need to learn to take Christ as the peace offering. We firstly need to have peace with God, our Father. And if we have peace with God, our Father, then for sure we will have peace with one another. But we are not peaceful people. So again, it's very practical. We need to learn to take Christ as our peace offering. The more we take Christ as our peace offering, the more He will change us. And then as we grow in this way, then when situations arise, rather than arguing with my wife, we come to the Father. We take Christ as a peace offering, and then we find out what we need to do to take care of it. Same thing in the church. Do we take Christ as our peace offering? Or do we complain in our hearts about what's going on in the church? So the peace offering is also very practical. And then you also have the sin offering. And the trespass offering. And you might say, what's the difference between the sin and the trespass offering? They're both sin, and they're both trespasses. What's the difference? Okay, there's actually a very subtle but very profound difference between the sin and the trespass offering. The sin offering, of course, we know that Jesus Christ is the sin offering. In John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the..." Sin or sins?
Sin.
Sin, not sins. The sin of the world. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, meaning Christ Himself, in the likeness of man, took sin, singular, the source of sin, and put it on the cross to crucify it, to destroy it. So the sin offering deals with the source, the sin within all of us. Today, when we encounter situations, we're tempted. We have that urge to do something that will disobey the Father. We need to learn to take Christ as the sin offering. "I have been crucified with Christ," Galatians says this, chapter 2, verse 20. Is that our reality? I have been crucified with Christ. And in Romans chapter 6, it speaks about what? Our old man has been buried with Christ, into the death of Christ. And when we come out of the water, we walk in newness of life. But in Romans 6, it also speaks about if we are buried, if we are, our old man is dead, that means sin no longer has what? Dominion within us. This is the sin offering. The sin offering deals with the very source of the sinful nature within us. And the trespass offering. Of course, the trespass offering is when we do mess up. It's the fruit of sin. And we do commit a trespass. Then we know in John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us." This is the trespass offering. So the sin offering deals with the source, the root of the problem, and the trespass offering deals with the fruit, with the result of not taking care of the sin. These are the five main offerings that we all need to begin to learn to practically apply in our daily life. This is what the Father wants. He wants to see the changes within us. He wants to see us as we prepare the offerings. It causes change in our lives. And that change in our life, when we offer this to the Father, this is what will satisfy the Father. And this is just a taste. I wish we had more time. If you want to hear more of the details of Christ is the as all the offerings, you need a conference. There is a conference recently given in Singapore, and if you really want to get into the details, I would encourage you to listen to it, because it gets into a lot more details than what I could just do in the last half an hour. But the offerings must become practical to us. You might realize, you might say, "Well, I can't offer anything. I don't have anything to offer." Well, actually, you do. You have a lot of experience regarding experiencing Christ as all the offerings. You know, I don't know if you realize, okay, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, these are voluntary. But the sin and the trespass offering, those are mandatory. And I do believe that you all have already experienced Christ as your trespass offering and the sin offering. So if you've already experienced Christ as your sin and your trespass offering, then you have at least that much to offer to the Father for the worship of the Father on the Lord's Day. But I think you also have the desire to experience Christ as the burnt and the meal and the peace offerings. And this is what the Father desires you to bring. But one of the things that we realize in Fountain Valley is we forget that we experience Christ in this way. So one of the things that has been helpful for us is, because many of, especially the young people, they all have smartphones. So some of the brothers wrote an app. And this app allows you to, when the offering, when you experience Christ as one of the offerings, right at that moment, you can just tap in a very quick experience. And as you do that during the week, by the end of the week, you have a collection of offerings. And then what you can do is, at the end of the week, you can say, okay, which one of these offerings is my top 10%? And then you can flag it as your favorite offering. And then on the Lord's Day, you just show your favorite offering, and then you speak from what you wrote in. It's, you know, you kind of laugh, you go, really? Does that really? You know, I've finally been able to use it more regularly because I'm a beta tester. So every time I install a new version, it wipes out everything I had in there. So I didn't type so much into it. But now I'm not doing that. I'm actually having it on the phone for a while. So I've been able to tap in. And what I realize is there is a lot of experience that I already forgot. Many times when I'm doing my morning exercise, I'm out there doing a brisk walk, and it's my time to spend time with the Lord. And as I consider, and all of a sudden the Lord will remind me of something. And I'll quickly, as I'm walking, I'll just tap it in really quick. And then, sure thing, I already forgot about it. And then the next day when I'm tapping in another experience, I realize, oh, I had this other experience. By the end of the week, I realize, oh, you know, I do have quite a bit more, but I just forgot. So if you have a smartphone and you want to download it, you can already download it. The iPhone version is already posted. You can download that. The Android version is in beta. It'll come pretty soon. But just tap it in, practically speaking. Because what we don't realize, we don't have the consciousness, is that we already are begun to experience the preparing of all the offerings. And this is very practical. And if we can really learn to prepare it and then bring it on the Lord's Day to offer to the Father, now the Father will have his food and the Father will be satisfied. So may the Lord bring us into this reality, because this is really what the Father is looking for. He is looking for his food. So may the Lord bring us into this reality of preparing the offerings. You all have experiences already. It's a matter of realizing it and then preparing it as the offering to satisfy our Father.
Sing this song about the offerings, number 260.